Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 64. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I made it back from Nashville.
Yeah, did you see Joel Ward there?
I did. I had some chicken fried chicken and some chicken fried everything with not Joel Ward, but Marcel Gotch.
Oh, he was there.
Yeah, oh yeah. He showed me around. We went two-stepping.
There you go.
We did the Deutschland twist.
Played some chess.
We did. We played some chess. We did some blogging.
Very good.
And then we did a collect call. Prank call to Christian Ehrhoff in Vancouver.
Oh, very good.
Oh, yeah. It was really funny because, like, Marcel was like, you know, oh, this is going to be so funny. And then and then Christian Ehrhoff's like, hello. He answers the phone. And Marcel Gotch is like, hello, this is Doug Wilson. You've been traded. And then he hung up.
With the German accent.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Like that. Yeah, hung up. And then Ehrhoff's like, oh, you know.
You bastards.
Deutschland, Deutschland, starts yelling at. It was, it was hilarious. Yeah.
Just was, hours of fun there.
Oh, yeah. No, we had a great time. I really miss it. Seriously, though, I was in Nashville, and I did see a Predators jersey while I was there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It was for sale.
Oh, in the window?
Yes.
Half price?
Yeah. No, it was for sale, and they were having an auction.
Opening bid $2.
Yeah, it was funny because Jim Balsillie tried to buy it and they wouldn't let him.
Couldn't. Thank you. Be here all week. Actually, dude, we went to the rookie game tonight. Rookie games, first professional hockey. Well, first real Sharks hockey. We can say honestly, this is Sharks hockey in months. So it's great to see the kids out there.
Yeah, that, I have a warm feeling inside after seeing the rookie game tonight, or it could just be the hot dog that we had.
Yeah. But
dude, it was exciting. It was great to see some of these young prospects. We had a good time, a spirited group of fans that we sat with. It was good to see everybody tonight. And hockey's back, dude.
It's definitely back.
It's back, and we saw some exciting prospects.
We did.
Some guys that caught your eye, dude. Can you name one, maybe one strapping young lad who you're now enamored with? Have you found a new Dan Boyle man crush?
I have, although, you know, can't supplant Dan Boyle, who is still awesome. But Nick Petrecki certainly wowed everybody last night. He only played on Tuesday night, which is really unfortunate, you know, because...
Meets expectations?
Oh, absolutely. So far, sure. I mean, this kid is big. He's mobile. He lays the lumber on people. He really hits. And he scored a goal, had an assist. I mean, he seems like he's got everything. He wasn't much of a scorer at Boston College, but geez, man. I mean, he really impressed big time last night. And, you know, it's just one game. What can you say? He made a couple mistakes. It's easy to see that too. But I hope that this first round draft pick for the Sharks is really going to pan out, because there's a lot of things he did which can make you very excited a couple years down the road. You know, I still don't think that he's going to be on the opening day roster, but certainly with a performance like that, he put himself in the running. So
it's got to be a thought, right?
Absolutely.
It's got to be a thought in their mind.
Yeah. I mean, the whole point of these games is to make Doug Wilson and the coach. I mean, they were there tonight. We saw them. They were upstairs at Stanley's for a while, and then they were at one end of the ice. And I mean, it's just these guys, some of these guys undrafted without contracts, trying to make an impression. I mean, Petrecki made an impression, no doubt. Fought, hits, goals, and assist. I mean, he was the best player on the ice. And Luca Sabisa, who plays for the Anaheim Ducks, was also on the ice. And this is a guy who played 40 games in the National Hockey League last year for the Flyers. Got traded to Anaheim in the Chris Pronger deal. And I mean, this guy's 19 years old, and he's a great prospect. He's a real amazing skater, Sabisa is, but certainly not the body of Petrecki. And geez, I mean, Petrecki was, I think, the best player on the ice.
Men among boys. So let me ask you this, dude, kind of quickly run through this for the listeners. Name the top three guys that you saw over the last two nights, and I'll kind of give you the three that caught my eye tonight.
Well, Petrecki is the number one. You didn't get to see Alex Stalock in goal last night. I did. I thought Stalock had a very impressive game. He made quick decisions, committed to the things that he was doing with the puck, good puck handler. I thought he made a couple of real tricky saves and obviously got the shutout last night. So Alex Stalock I would put as my number two. Number three, it's a little hard to choose, you know, because it seems everybody other than those two, you know, they could use a little work. I liked the things that Phil Verone did tonight. I thought he looked pretty good. I thought Ben Ferrero, the guy that we talked about a couple weeks ago, the Sharks just recently signed, also out of college, I thought he looked pretty good. I thought Samuel Grew looked decent. Taylor Doherty looked decent. I don't know. It's sort of a toss-up between those guys. There wasn't another guy that really jumped out at me, but I have an idea who you might be picking.
Oh, you think I'm going to say Fraser McLaren?
Maybe. I like Fraser McLaren. Yeah.
Oh, I love Fraser McLaren.
I thought he had a better game last night than tonight, but I thought...
Well, because he spent about 15 minutes in the penalty box tonight.
This is true.
I liked Fraser McLaren for a few reasons. One is, you know, tonight when somebody took a run at him, he very quickly looked back at him and said, if you're going to do that, then you're going to have to fight me.
Right.
And then he proceeded to beat this guy's behind, you know? And this guy who, you know, I think he fought, if I'm looking here, was it Stewart?
Mike Stewart? I think that's right.
You know, Mike Stewart's a college player, you know, but, you know, he's got no real professional hockey experience. He's going up against a guy in Fraser McLaren who played 70 or so games against men last year in the AHL. And boy, after about 30 seconds, I think that Stewart quickly regretted ever getting in that confrontation. The thing about Fraser McLaren is that, you know, he's 6'4", you know, 240 or whatever. But, dude, he can play.
Yeah.
Like, he can play the game, and he's not just an enforcer. And I don't think he has necessarily the skill set of a Lucic, but he's certainly more useful than, like, a Jody Shelley.
Yeah, that's the thing that was really pleasantly surprising for me. You know, I only was able to read about this guy. He seemed like, okay, he can chuck the knuckles. He's a big kid. He's strong. He'll stand up for people. He's got a little bit of a mean streak. He'll fight. But he created chances offensively last night. And tonight, I thought he made good decisions with the puck. He had a couple of nice centering passes and things like that behind the net. He seemed to be calm and collected.
I didn't really see him make a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, when you see, you know, some of these enforcers, they just seem to be uncomfortable with the puck. And I didn't feel like he was like that at all.
No, absolutely not.
And he was wearing an A tonight, which I kind of like that. You know, he seems to be, obviously, in the dressing room, at least at a rookie camp, you know, with his experience, he's taking on that role of being someone who they could look to. Another guy that caught my eye tonight was Joe Loprino, all right, which I think maybe might be because I think he did make some mistakes tonight, and some guys got around him. But I always kind of felt like he was on the ice, and I noticed him. Like, I feel like he was either good or bad, like he was kind of in and making plays, you know, trying to make a play, making a hit, not afraid of using the body. He's a college guy, you know, and if is Loprino signed or not? I'm going to look here. Joe Loprino is signed. So I think we signed him as a free agent. And so he'll likely, you know, play the year in Worcester. But I just thought he was interesting. He scored a goal at the end of the game.
Right.
Seemed like, you know, a type of player could be an interesting potential third pairing guy somewhere down the line for some NHL team. I just kind of liked his makeup. And then the third guy, dude, Rudy.
Yeah.
We called him Rudy. Daniel Ehrlich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, describe this guy.
He's about 3 feet tall. No. He's listed as 5'6", 150. On the score sheet. So that is not a large person. That would make him, I mean, if he was in the NHL, he would probably be the smallest guy in the NHL, I think.
Right.
But I mean, he's got a head full of steam everywhere he goes. He skates like the wind. He's not afraid to go into the corners. He's not afraid to hit people. I think he overhandles the puck quite a bit a lot of times.
Talk about being somewhere, though, every time something good happened. He had 4 points tonight.
That's right.
So, every time a play was being made, he seemed to be involved.
Yeah, I mean, he's 18. He's got places to go. I mean, could he turn into a Brian Gionta kind of player? You know, I mean, you look at small players in the league. You look at Brian Gionta. You look at Martin St. Louis, and you say, you know, the league now that a lot of the grabbing and holding has gone out of the game. There's room for small players like that. Could he be one of those guys?
It seems like it. Seems like it. No, dude. We had this discussion at the game where we were. a little bit confused as far as, you know, a guy like Ehrlich, mm-hmm. not even sure how to say his name. He's 18 years old. He's playing junior hockey in the OHL for London.
Mm-hmm.
What's his status? He wasn't drafted this year.
Yeah.
So he's here on a tryout. But what does that mean? Can the Sharks sign him?
They can. Yeah, they can. They can sign him to a deal. So what that means is, I looked this up in the CBA because it's very confusing how this works. But he was undrafted. That means the Sharks can actually look at him, or any team could look at him, before the major junior season starts. So he's still eligible for major juniors. I assume he's going to go back and play at London if he doesn't get a contract. So what the Sharks did is they signed him to a tryout contract. I believe major juniors has already begun. So they have to sign him to a tryout contract, under which they can then take a look at him up to the beginning of the NHL season. Okay. And at that point, they either have to sign him to a contract or they let him go back to juniors. And so they can, so that they don't have his rights. Any team can do this. The Sharks invited him to camp and he accepted. I guess he didn't have other invitations, or he chose the Sharks over other teams, whatever it was. And so he's not eligible. And once he goes back to major juniors, then he is ineligible to play in the NHL until next season. He'll re-enter the draft again.
Got it. Interesting.
Yeah.
So based on what you saw tonight, what do you think is going to happen with this kid?
I think they're going to put him back in junior. And then he may get drafted next season. Because we look at a guy like Victor Tikhonov, right? Victor Tikhonov was drafted in the first round. He's a local player here in San Jose. He got a lot of press. His first eligible draft year, he didn't get drafted at all. And then he was drafted in the first round by the Phoenix Coyotes. So clearly, maybe I don't know exactly what happened, but it's possible they did something like they did with Ehrlich. They invited him to camp. They saw him in a rookie game, and they said, okay, have fun in juniors this year. Went back to juniors, and he had a good year. And they said, okay, this kid's worth drafting. He's worth drafting high. So Ehrlich, it's possible if Ehrlich has another good year, I think he had 40 or 50 some odd points in London this year. If he has another great...
53
points. That's not bad.
No, it's pretty good.
So if he, you know, has another good year, it's possible he'll be drafted next year. Sharks don't pick him up right now.
Right. So, but if the Sharks signed him now, could he go back to juniors?
Yes. Yes, he could.
So then why wouldn't you sign him now?
Because there's a limit of the number of contracts that you can have. You can't just give everybody on earth a contract. There's a limit to the number of contracts you can have outstanding to anybody, including juniors, minors, ECHL, there's a limit. It's like 50 players. And so the Sharks would, you know, the roster limit, the signed roster limit or something like that. There's a term for it. And the Sharks would be using up a spot on that list. You know, and most teams usually are very close to that limit. So that means they would necessarily probably either get one closer to the limit, or they'd have to let somebody go, and he would sort of take a spot on that list. So
it'd be interesting to see what's going to happen, because he was certainly impressive. He was definitely the fan favorite tonight.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
People were cheering his name.
I mean, he's a tiny, tiny guy.
Yeah.
he really
made an impression, and it might be interesting to see what happens in the next. I'd be stunned if they brought him to big boys camp,
if
he stuck around much longer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, did his play warrant maybe an entry-level deal?
I would say no, frankly. I think, you know, he's 18 years old. He's wildly undersized. Is this a guy you really want to be offering a contract to? I think this is a guy that you look at throughout the year and you say, okay, we know this guy has some gumption here, and then you maybe consider drafting him next year. But I wouldn't waste a contract on this guy. I mean, he needs to get a lot bigger. He needs to get more skilled. He's very, very young. It's hard to make it in the league being that small. I don't think you use up a spot on a guy like that.
Although, I guess the risk you run is that someone else can take him.
Well, once he goes back to juniors, nobody else can take
him.
Right,
but someone could take him next year.
Well, someone could draft him,
sure.
Right? Or the Sharks could trade up to number two and draft him. Right?
No, let's be honest. We both know we're not going to have a first-round pick.
Yeah, we're going to trade that sucker away any second.
Any moment.
But enough about CBA minutia. This was fun times. You know, this is the first time I've been to rookie games, and I've really enjoyed it. I'm definitely looking forward to doing it. Maybe, hopefully, next year. I know camp is coming on Sunday. I haven't been to training camp either. That could be interesting. Certainly, there's going to be a lot of controversy about the captaincy and the assistants and all that, and the Marlowe thing and this whole mess. Another name now in the mix in terms of training camp. Your call, Dan Hynote.
That's right, dude. Dan Hynote in Sharks camp, dude.
Yeah. Tryout contract.
That's right. I like it. I threw his name out earlier this summer. I've mentioned him a few times. I think he's the kind of guy that the Sharks need to have around. The big problem with Hino is his health. Mm-hmm. He has not been healthy, you know, the last couple seasons. He's really struggled as far as being able to play more than half a season. Last year, he only played 51 games. He played 58 the year before and only 41 the year before that. So that's not mm-hmm. exactly like a ringing endorsement for a player when they have so many health problems, but I think it's a result of how hard he plays. Like, this guy is another guy like Scott Nichol, nonstop motor dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you want a guy like that. Certainly the Sharks are trying to make the fourth line in a new image here.
Yeah. Another heart and soul guy too. This mm-hmm. guy doesn't quit. You know, if you're looking for that other intangible Stanley Cup winner.
I know I'm sounding like a broken record here, but this is another guy we've talked about in previous shows. Manny Malhotra, still unsigned.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, you know, I'm not a scout. I'm not a general manager. But if Manny Malhotra is available, why would you not have a look at him instead of Dan Hino?
But I don't think Malhotra is willing to come in and do a tryout. I think that's the problem here with not just Malhotra, but with a couple of these other guys.
How many other offers you got?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, what about a guy like Dennis Seidenberg?
Yeah.
He had a pretty good year last year. You know, he was a top four defenseman for a team that made it all the way to the Stanley Cup semis, mm-hmm. you know, and now he doesn't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he says that he has some offers. He's trying to figure it out, but he certainly didn't get the raise he thought he was going to. Whereas Malhotra, it's got to be hard for him to look and go, well, how did Travis Moen get 1.5 mil? And a guy like Malhotra, who's one of the best third line centers in the league, is still sitting there going,
yeah.
Well, I guess I could accept a tryout from the Florida Panthers and play for the minimum. If Hinote makes a team, dude, he's going to play for the minimum, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
500,000.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a tryout.
Malhotra is not going to... He's. I think they've made the decision that he'd rather not play than play for the minimum.
Jeez, man. That's... I mean, I'd check my representation if I were him. That's tough,
You
man.
Think he couldn't go to the KHL tomorrow?
I guess he could. Yeah, he could probably get more money, but that's tough. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. There is another place where he could actually get a job.
There's a lot of players that are unsigned, dude. I mean, you know, I'm sure Phil Kessel's name will come up a couple times tonight, but Phil Kessel's still not signed. Brandon Dubinsky's still not signed.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are restricted, but they're not signed right now.
They got qualifying offers.
So sure, but they haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, it's true.
So, you know, is it possible that those two players might still not be with their respective teams? They could move.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
You know, there's still a lot of uncertainty, not just with our team, but I think with a lot of teams around the league that, you know, we might see more moves during the preseason than we're normally used to.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of veterans are unsigned.
It's really weird because I know we talked about this all the way back last year about how there's this shrinking middle class of NHL players. These guys like Kyle MacLaren last year. Seems Manny Malhotra is falling into that trap this year. These guys, they're NHL caliber players, but they're not getting jobs because teams seem to be going the direction of you have stars making $4 or $5 million or young guys making money, Joe Thornton, Joe Pavelski, Ryan Clough, and then you have these up and comers like Derek Jocelyn trying to make the team or Dan Hino playing for the minimum, and all these guys in sort of the $1 to $2 million range, they're getting squeezed out. It's just strange. Dennis Seidenberg, why is Dennis Seidenberg not playing?
Dude, let me toss out some guys who are still unsigned here. Okay,
cool.
Matt Sundin.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 hilarious.
Yeah.
Robert Lang.
Yeah.
Coming off a major injury. But this guy, I mean, this guy's a second line center.
He can play.
He can play. He can play. If he's healthy, you know, I'm just going to pull up his stats real quick here. I mean, you know, he's just 1 year off from a 54-point year, 52, 62, 74. I mean, it's not like this guy, he can still play.
No, yeah.
He was playing decently last year. Okay, someone like Mike Comrie. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think Comrie thinks he's better than he is at this point.
That could be the
and
problem.
That might be the problem. You know, and you've got other players out there, you know, who are, you know, nothing, no one's picked up Zhertov.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that one's kind of funny and also kind of strange. Like, no one wants to take a chance on him, but it's also not like Zhertov is going to accept a tryout.
Right.
You know, this guy had 60 something points last year.
KHL, he has got probably. KHL all over him.
Francis Cabrelle.
Yeah, Frank Cabrelle is good.
Frank Cabrelle is unsigned. Okay. Rob Niedermeyer.
Mm-hmm. Another third line guy.
Yeah.
Falls into that trap. He's like Manny Malhotra. He's right in that spot.
Mike Pekka.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marc-Andre Bergeron.
Yeah. I mean,
not a bad player.
No, not at all.
Okay, we've already talked about Manny Malhotra. Dominic Moore.
Yeah. Again, these are sort of these third and fourth line guys that probably won't make the minimum, that wouldn't be looking to make the minimum. These guys are getting squeezed out.
I know. Dude, here's the biggest head scratcher, dude. Unsigned. Alexei Semenov.
Oh, man. Yeah. Never ends.
Why is he unsigned? It's because he sucks. So it's weird. I mean, what's going to happen to some of these guys? Are they going to swoop in there when other teams get injuries? Or are they going to be picked up throughout this process? Would it be shocking to see one of them ending up here? Probably at this point.
Yeah, at this point.
Especially since...
Like we said, they probably wouldn't get the minimum, and the Sharks don't have that much to play with at the moment.
The Ducks just gave Steve Eminger 2 years and $1.2 million a year.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's a weird one, too. So there's some weird stuff happening for sure, but Dan Hino, I like it. Dude, you want to make a little wager?
Okay, bring it.
I bet you that Dan Hino is going to be on the opening night roster and playing on opening night when the Sharks open on the road in Colorado.
Against his old team, the Avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll take that bet.
You'll take the bet. So you're saying he will not.
Yes.
You're saying, and now, and
I think
you,
he might, it might be close. Like, I might be really sweating bullets. I mean, he might be like the healthy scratch or something.
So you win if he's the healthy scratch.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I win if he plays.
Yeah, he has to play. He has to have at least one shift.
Okay.
I mean, he may get boarded or something.
It'll be interesting. You know, and I think this kind of goes into an email that we got, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we got an email from Robin. And he said he focused primarily on face-offs, which is something that we certainly talked about in previous shows.
Right.
And something the Sharks have been very good at. But his question was, Ryan Kloh was used sparingly for faceoffs, and his percentage was a playoff team best at 63%, 7 of 11. What do the dudes think the importance of shoring up the lower line, such as Wilson has, with his free agents and youngsters? Having wingers that can add another facet up front is very valuable. So who do you think is the best combination to augment the team? He likes Jamie McGinn, Dan Hinote, and he believes Scott Nichol is a valuable addition. So...
Well, I would love to know who Kloh took those draws against.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he was winning draws against Todd Marchand or something, then I'd be really interested and curious to find out why he's not taking more draws. But I would wonder if he wasn't winning draws against like Mike Brown or something.
Yeah, that's true. But Scott Nichol's a guy that wins faceoffs.
Yeah,
and certainly that's something the Sharks are very interested in. That's something that's really the only thing Marcel Gotch was good at. But it seemed at some points of the season, but Scott, I mean, certainly that's something that the Sharks are going to be interested in doing. 7-11, 18 faceoffs is not statistically significant. He had a good run there. You know, I'm sure Jose Uribe once went 7-11 for the Giants.
That's a low blow, dude.
I'm
That's
sorry.
A low blow. How but, dare you attack my Giants, especially now when I'm at my darkest moment.
I'm sorry, dude.
It's terrible. But I'm just saying, are the A's doing, by the way?
I'm sure they're not doing well. I don't care about baseball.
Just lost three Canadians, dude. Keep going.
Who cares? But yeah, Jamie McGinn, I think we both think he is definitely going to be on the team.
I'll be shocked if he's not on the team.
Dan Hinote, you know, not sure. I think Jed Ortmeier has a shot.
Go ahead, dude.
It's a question of, you know, which of these young kids are going to step up, if any. Right. Is Fraser McLaren going to make a run? Are they going to, you know, how is this all going to sort? Where's Chichu going to be? I mean, is he going to take up a third line spot?
God, I can't see that happening.
I keep waiting for that to happen.
The thing, okay, part one is Chichu here. And we've talked about how I still feel like he's not going to be on the team by the time we're done with the preseason. And I would certainly hope that if they're going to move in, if they have anything in a place that they really should do in the next week and just not even have him around, you know, but if they are going to keep him, it's sort of like top two lines are bust. Like you're going to have to put him out there. And that means that one of those guys is going to have to move down. And so the most logical person to me is who's going to get bumped. If Chichu's going to get the shot, it's going to be Seto.
Yeah, who scored 31 goals last year.
Right. So, but on the other hand, the idea of putting Seto, McGinn, and Mitchell together on a third line, that could be pretty damn exciting.
That could be fun.
And they could be really productive.
Mm-hmm.
That could be an outstanding third line. So it all kind of hinges on, you know, if they're going to put their eggs in the Chichi basket here.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know.
So there's still a lot of questions as far as the third line goes. And the fourth line, if Fraser McLaren steps up, someone's not going to be here. It could be Dan Hynout, who doesn't get a spot.
Jody Shelley
could be the one sticking out. And, you know, the person that's still a real question mark here is Brad Staubitz. Mm-hmm. I think, to me, it's either Staubitz or Hynout. I don't think you have both of them on the team.
Right.
They're kind of duplicate parts. So if Hynout outplays Staubitz in the preseason, then Brad Staubitz might be going to Worcester.
That's right. There's still a lot of questions associated with that. But, God, yeah, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I mean,
it might make it fun. You know, a kid like Ben Ferrero he's certainly mature enough to maybe he could step up and maybe sneak in there as a fourth liner. But I certainly don't think they're going to keep a guy like that or Fraser McLaren to be the scratch.
Mm-hmm.
That might be Jed Ortmeier's lucky job.
Yeah.
You know, you can carry the bags and, you know, get room service. But, you know, a guy like that who's a veteran, you know, that would be someone he'd keep around as a scratch.
So Teal and White is a week away.
Yes, dude.
Okay, so here's the question. Camp starts on Sunday. The whole captaincy, assistant captaincy, when is this decision going to be made? When do you think this is going to be made? Is this going to be made the day before the season starts? Or is this going to be made, you know,
end of camp, say by the last preseason game?
Okay, so a few days before opening day?
Yes.
That's your call? I don't know exactly the schedule, but... They're not just going to have a couple of days and say,
no.
Boyle, run.
No. I don't think that they can, because I still think that it's possible that this roster is not set yet. You know, that there could still be some changes happening, you know, with some of these players that might be in the mix for some of these spots. You know, I don't think any of our major players are going anywhere in this, you know, notion of Marlowe still maybe moving. I just think it's just total BS. And, you know, they might still be shopping him, but he's not going to go anywhere. He doesn't want to go anywhere.
So I guess that gets us to the quick Kessel and Heatley update, which there really isn't much there. They say, I mean, Ottawa still says they want Heatley out. All the rumors have them asking, a truckload for him.
God, Joe Thornton for Heatley?
Yeah.
I laughed out loud.
Are you crazy? Are you absolutely nuts?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Insane.
That's nuts. I'm not saying Joe Thornton is the second coming here, but I mean, why would you trade Joe Thornton for a guy that has managed to, that, you know, has had problems, though, like we've talked about? So that's just a dumb move, and for more money, nonetheless. And Kessel, it sounds like they want a ton. The offer sheet thing is now bandied about with the Toronto Maple Leafs. It seems like Brian Burke got his second round pick, so he can sign Kessel to an offer sheet, which means he'd probably sign him between $4 and $5 million and have to give up a first and second round pick. That just sounds like too steep for the Sharks. Why would they give up a first round pick? I mean, this is a team that does pretty well. Of course, you'd love to have Kessel on the roster, but why would you give up more picks? It seems like we're so...
And I don't think that they would. I think we talked about a possible scenario with Kessel that... If the Sharks wanted to make him an offer, they might offer him something like a 1-year deal in the, you know, $2 million range. And, you know, which Boston, they can't match it because they have no room. Mm-hmm. I mean, so unless they've got somewhere to go, you know, they don't, they're kind of out of options here. And then once, you know, next year when you got a bunch of room, then you sign Kessel to an extended deal, and I think that only costs the Sharks like a second round pick. So if I could get Kessel for a second rounder, I'd do it every single day.
Yeah.
But I think the odds of us getting a player like that are becoming slimmer and slimmer.
Yeah, not good.
And you know, unless Murray's gonna move off his offer and take a lesser package for Heatley,
I think that they're
stuck with him now at this point.
Well, dude, didn't you told me you had something associated You have some crazy trade or something like that?
I do.
Is this right? Oh, wait. No, that's not it.
Oh, that's the song. The other song, dude.
I don't know if that's true.
Crazy trade.
All right, dude, you won't tell me your crazy trade. I don't have one this week, but you do. So I'm sure we're going to have something to talk about here.
Dude, okay, this is a two-part thing. All right, the first part is that we have to, you know, assume that Chichu is going to be moved, which has been the assumption for a lot of our crazy trades
yeah.
in the last couple of weeks, and it still hasn't happened. But for the point of this trade, dude, I'm going to assume that Chichu is going to be moved.
Okay.
All right. And the irony will run deep after I explain this trade, because it ties into something else that we talked about earlier today. With the Boston Bruins, I'm saying let's trade a prospect like the guy we got from Vancouver, Pat White,
okay,
to Boston and bring back Marco Sturm.
Really?
Bring him back.
Marco Sturm.
Bring him back, dude. Bring him back. Now,
him and,
I know...
Him and Joe have to fight over who gets the 19.
He doesn't get the 19.
You sure?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm saying bring back Marco Sturm.
Okay.
Why not? I mean, okay, put... Imagine a line of a healthy Marco Sturm. This is assuming he's healthy. Healthy Marco Sturm, McGinn, and Torrey Mitchell. Third line.
Mm-hmm.
Sturm can play the kill. Sturm can play on the power play. You know, of all active NHL players, Marco Sturm is in the top 20 of active players in shorthanded goals. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. And it's surprising a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I think that, and if you're talking about something where you need something to get the fans back on your side, dude.
Yeah, that could do it.
Bringing back Marco Sturm, the fan base that have been around for a long time, they would go crazy for this. People would be really excited going into the new season. You've got Sturm and Marlow back together for one more go, now with Joe Thornton. I say bring back Marco Sturm, dude.
That's pretty fun, dude. I appreciate that trade. I think that's kind of cool.
And the kicker for Boston is they need to move his salary,
yeah,
and they could keep Phil Kessel.
Mm-hmm. So that actually might give him an out, right?
It does. It gives them the out.
That's what makes a good deal, is when it serves the needs of both teams involved. And yeah, Chichu's gone and we can take Sturm's salary.
You might even be able to get, and they get a prospect that's not a loser. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an unknown. He's unsigned, and if they don't like him, they get that second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you could even get Boston to give you Sturm and like a second or a third,
mm-hmm,
because they're in a weird spot right now. And maybe if you're able to take salary from them and they can keep Kessel, they might prefer it.
Good trade, dude.
Thanks, dude.
I'm glad this segment is still going strong, because Lord knows, I think there's still going to be more stuff happening. Like,
dude, can we ask the listeners this week on the poll question?
Yeah.
Dude, bring back Sturm or kill that deal.
Okay, I'll put that as the poll this week. All right,
very nice.
All right, last topic, dude. Fantasy leagues coming back.
That's right.
We mentioned it last show. People emailed us about it. For those of you that showed the initiative of emailing us, we already sent you the league information. But now we're going to announce it here on the air so people can join. I don't think there's a whole lot of spots left, but if it fills up, you can email questions at dudesonhockey.com and we will open a new league.
Yeah, we're going to open a second league. So the league that we have right now is called the Dudes on Hockey League. It's at Yahoo Sports. And the password is all lowercase, Dan Boyle, no spaces. And I'm looking for the league number here, dude. I think they can just, they can find it by topic, looking for the Dudes on Hockey League. But of course now...
I can't find it.
Well, we'll put stalling, and I can't find the.
We'll put it on the blog.
Yeah, we'll put the number of the league on the blog, and we currently right now, dude, we have.
How many teams do we have, dude?
We have. Your internet is going very slowly, dude. It's
don't blame me, dude. It's your computer.
Slower than Tyler Doherty tonight. Taylor Doherty tonight.
Oh.
At the prospect game, 11 teams. So we've got 3 spots open right now, dude. And if there is excess interest, we'll open another league.
Yeah, which we will definitely.
And we'll play in the other league, too. Both of us will play in both leagues.
Well, we already have the returning champ back.
We do.
Robert Behrens.
We do.
So he's back. We have other other people now.
What's your team name currently, dude?
I am, what am I, Casualties of Cap War.
Casualties of Cap War, that's good.
I believe that's my name.
I am the Ghost of Plea Hall.
Yeah, you always come up with good names. That's good. That's a good one. So join our fantasy league. We'll open more fantasy leagues. I know people love doing fantasy. You know, I vow that I am going to care this year. No, I cared
last
year.
Dude, you do care until you...
I hit
you end
the skids.
Up falling out of the league.
I hit the skids and then I lose interest. So this year I'm going to try, and then I'll make like 8,000 like waiver pickups like you make every year, and then I will win.
You promise, dude.
I promise.
You promised.
And hopefully there'll be lots of good trades this year, because that's the best thing about fantasy.
Yeah, crazy trades.
So check it out. Anyway, so that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. I hope you'll check out the blog at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And of course, we'll be back again next week. I guess we're going to podcast next week after Teal and White again. So I'll be a little late on posting again next week because there's so much great shark stuff going on.
That's right, dude.
So we'll talk to you then.
Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.